My name is Yolanda Mabuto. I am the managing director of Genesis Energy Group within the South African region. I lead a team of dynamic and very passionate people in Africa and in South Africa.
The role of women in the energy sector is not to be underestimated, nor is their contribution to multi-million dollar utilities across Africa. During this series of Women in Energy podcasts, we're going to be speaking with a number of leading women in Africa's energy sector, showcasing their influence, the unique elements they bring to their jobs, and provide a little insight into the woman behind the job. Hi, I'm Claire Falkfan. And today I'm very pleased to be speaking to Yolanda Mabuto. Of the many hats that Yolanda wears, one of them is that of South African Managing Director of Project Development for Genesis Energy Group. Yolanda, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. It's really great to have the opportunity to see you and speak to you again.
Thank you, Claire. It's such a pleasure for me to join this amazing series and in this time of the year where we celebrate Women's Month in South Africa.
It was also obviously very good to see you earlier this year at Inland Africa, the very first official Inland Africa in Cape Town.
Oh, yes. It was such a pleasure to just gather around with other strong women like yourselves who are doing great things out there in the sector. It was such an honor for me to have met you there as well.
In addition to being the MD of Genesis Energy, could I ask what other roles do you fulfill?
Right. So I am a mother to three beautiful children. I've got one son and two daughters. I'm also a daughter, a sister, and a mentor. Apart from those very important roles, I'm also the BRICS member. I'm not sure. I think you are familiar with the BRICS, the Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Within yep. the energy, green energy economy. So I sit in there in the working group just to give, you know, our perspective, you know, looking at things in the gender lens around, you know, bringing what are the challenges on the grassroots and what are the possible solutions within the sector. I'm also the South African Institute of Electrical Engineers chairperson on the entrepreneurship and innovation chapter, where really it's all about bringing all entrepreneurs within the sector in one room, sharing what is possible, how we can together build our economy. I'm also very passionate about women development, as you may know. I lead the African team within the World Women Conference and Awards. It's, again, those very important diverse discussions that we bring as different women leaders across the continent. It's where I kind of facilitate those discussions and those possible solutions. Recently, I've been accredited as an international angel investor, looking again at investing in using the gender lens and how we can get women on board in investing and in becoming, you know, angel investors, not in our own countries, but across the globe. So, yeah, and some of the things I do, again, in serving, you know, the women space is being the advisor for the Association of Municipal Electricity Utility under the Women in Electricity program that they have. So it's all about, like we said earlier, joining hands, having diverse voices and having different ideas on board and shaping the future forward.
And I mean, I do have to ask, hearing all of the roles that you play, how do you manage to be everything to everyone? I mean, how do you manage to fulfill all of those roles?
That's an important question, and most people ask me that. But, you know, if you look at all the spaces that I serve in and lead in, there's always synergy. So I believe in creating systems and processes that will then replicate themselves. So what I do in one organization, I'll definitely do it for the other. I will change only based on the context. So it's all about looking at synergies and looking at the alignment and how these things are aligning. For me, it then becomes easy to raise my hand and say, yes, I can serve based on the experience I've gained from serving in a different organization. I can bring it on into the new organization just to add flavor and flair. So it's really not that difficult. But the only thing that becomes challenging is time. But thank goodness for technology, because now we can have our discussions over Zoom, over Google Drives, over WhatsApp calls. So that has made it easy for me to be able to serve in different and diverse organizations and platforms.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would obviously say that it's very hard to identify the good things that have come out of COVID. But I must say, I think that our ability to embrace digital communication in all of its forms has significantly changed the way that we do things. I think our ability to have a recording like this is just something that perhaps we wouldn't really have imagined being able to do. Unless we were in person 3 or 4 years ago. So, and I think it's wonderful.
Absolutely. I fully agree with you on that one.
So one of the questions that I have to ask is, looking at you now, what would you say to 13-year-old Yolanda with, I guess, the benefit of the foresight, hindsight? What would you say to little you?
Well, I will say embrace yourself, embrace your uniqueness, because we all come in different forms and ways as human beings. But when we then not embrace what we're bringing into the table, we are, allowing ourselves to fall short. We all have imperfections, and that's one thing that, women and maybe young, people always shy away and say, I'm not perfect, therefore I will not be able to do certain things. For me, I would tell the young Yolanda to embrace who you are and embrace your imperfections, because that's where you get understanding of how to perfect yourself and how to shape yourself for the future, and also how to learn, based on your past experiences, and really always be grateful and celebrate all wins, big and small, because we've got this thing of saying we can't celebrate small, forgetting that small helps us to be encouraged to do bigger and better things. So I always, want, as I'm growing up now, motivating people to celebrate whatever that they do, whatever box that they've ticked, it's important to celebrate and do what you love. Because when you do what you love, your passion comes out, and you never stop learning when you do what you love, because you always want to perfect it. You always want to do it better and better than the previous time. So that's really some of the advice I would give the young Yolanda. And, we always look for change in the spaces that we find, or we always point fingers to say, this must be done, but be the change you want to see in the world and attract the energy that you give out into the world. Not forgetting speaking your truth, because only you know your truth. And whatever is beautiful inside you will come out when you speak your own truth and search for that purpose that you have called to bring about into this world. So that's some of the advice I would give the young Yolanda, and probably she would have been a better person than she is right now.
Do you think she would have listened?
I think she would have listened because, based on the character, observing what is and listening at what might be possible, I think she would have listened, I hope.
I have a 15-year-old daughter, and She, as I think many of the teenagers that we all know and love, is having a really hard time embracing that whole concept of, we all have imperfections. I think that social media has really made it so hard for these kids to believe that imperfection in any way, shape, or form is normal. And it's a daily challenge, I think, to help her realize that actually nobody's perfect.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I've raised two teenagers. My daughter now is 23 and my son is 16. Again, it's similar to what you've just said. You know, the social media has just taken over, you know, the messaging on our behalf. So I always say, if you do not speak, you know, the truth in your children's lives, someone else out there will do that for you. So let your truth, you know, supersedes what they are hearing from outside, because as a parent, your voice will always remain in their hearts, no matter how they are hearing or what they are hearing outside, your voice always remains. And on this topic of imperfection, they always want to be perfect because the world out there in social media looks so perfect in their eyes. Forgetting that there's a lack of authenticity in the things that they see. They are only shown a certain part where that part needs to pressure them into wanting to be perfect, which we're not perfect as human beings. We're all imperfect with our perfections. So that's really what I believe in.
I mean, if you look at TV and social media, you'd think that all some people do is sit around, drink coffee and talk nonsense, or, I don't know, constantly travel. I guess, you know, it gives a very skewed perception of the world. But if I could perhaps shift a little bit and ask, what does being a woman in the energy sector mean to you? And it's sad, I think, in some ways that we still have to focus on the gender difficulties or differences, but it is still in many cases real. So, I mean, what do you see your strength being as being a woman in the energy? What does being a woman in the energy sector mean for you?
Well, that's a powerful question. And for me, I think being a woman in this space allows me or gives me an opportunity to bring a different perspective, you know, than my male counterpart, you know. And also, if I'm looking at young people, young women out there who want to be in this space, but thinking perhaps I'm not the right person, I'm not the right shape, I am not the right height. Being here, I am modeling what is possible for the next generation of women who will lead, you know, the energy sector and the new sectors that might come up. So for me, it means I am an active role player in advancing, you know, the country's economic growth through what we always advocate, you know, better employment for young people and for women specifically, not just in the energy sector, but across the sectors. So this question, like I said, I could speak all day, but some of the things I want to just bring, as you have asked this question, is that also it means we are able to bring about transformation in the spaces that we lead and in the spaces that we serve. Because, you know, as leaders in these spaces, we have an opportunity to translate, you know, the energy that we talk about, the energy that we always, you know, advocate for, into reliable mechanism for women's empowerment and, you know, not just empowerment, but really economic empowerment at all stages, you know, looking at the grassroots, looking at, you know, women in the villages, looking at young girls from communities and villages, that they can see that this does not start at the top. Because when they're looking at someone there in certain boardrooms, they feel like it is far fetched. It's like a pie in the sky, and therefore they cannot attain or reach there. But when we go down, you know, into the bottom of the pyramid, into the grassroots, we're able to show them there's a possibility to be advanced, there's a possibility to be empowered through programs that are available, some of them within the, you know, the ministers, the Department of Minerals, and, you know, Energy and Resources, and some other government you know, departments that are offering such opportunities. So for me, as a woman who's leading in these spaces, it allows me to open those doors and say, come in, have something, learn something, and go out there, impact, you know, the next generation. So it's such a very critical and important position to be in, but you need to be wise enough to utilize and leverage on these networks to allow the change in the lives of others to be seen and to change this world to become a better place.
I don't think that there's many people that would disagree with you on that. I think, and especially, you know, the opportunity to have an influence at grassroots level is really where the true empowerment happens. I think the ability to show other women what it is that they are capable of and to encourage them to reach for the sky is really incredibly important. And especially if you're in a position where you can lead by example, I think, yeah, I mean, that's far more powerful than a motivational speech, you know.
That's so true.
So speaking of motivation, I do have to ask, when life is getting you down, is there a quote or a saying of some sort that helps you come back to yourself, that helps you, I guess, feel that it's worth all the struggle, or just the thing that kind of guides you when life happens?
Yes. There's a quote that I live by. Again, it speaks to change, because I believe change is the only constant thing we've seen in this world, because things change every hour, every minute, and every second. So the quote that I live by is, be the change you want to see in the world. I live that in every aspect of my life. Like I said, change is the only constant thing I've seen as I have lived in this number of decades that I've lived. So whenever I find myself in a space where I feel there's complexity, it's a complex environment and it needs change, before I can point my finger into the next person, I say, I need to be the change that I want to see in this environment or in this area. For instance, if I may quickly just refer to how I've started my organization, which is called Divine Growth Solutions. We've seen the challenges within the sector, you know, how women were still not really taken seriously as business owners, as an entity, you know, owners. I looked at this situation and I said, I need to be the change that I want to see in this world. I need to be the change that I want to see in this, you know, specific, you know, area. And I went into the department and I said, look, this is the challenge and this is how I can solve it with you. You know, so at that time, that action and that quote, which I live by, did not just only help myself, but it also helped other women. Because, you know, what we were driving is women empowerment, is transformation in the sector, is opening, you know, opportunities for women who were leading businesses and are still leading businesses to market access, you know, to information. Because if you do not have information, chances are you will make wrong decisions because you are sitting with no information or wrong information. But when right information is being provided into you, you are then able to make sound decision based on that information. So these are the things I always, I preach when I speak to young people. Stop pointing fingers next door or in front of you. Be that change. If you see a problem, get others that are sharing the same agenda or vision and be that change. So that's the quote I live true and true ever since I was a young girl.
I guess that leads very nicely into my last question, which is, how you harness your inner power and take leadership credibility to the next level.
Yeah, that's a good one as well, because you know what? As leaders in this century, it's really not an easy role, but also it is exciting because you are setting the trend, you know, for young people and for the next generation. So when I find myself, you know, in spaces where I need to be, you know, sound, I always connect into my inner self and get my inner peace. I believe in meditating. I'm a very spiritual, you know, person. I believe in God. I believe in the word. So the word of God shapes me, shapes who I am, shapes my actions. And when I do those meditation, you know, in the word, I then get to understand and distinguish, you know, between, you know, God's voice and my inner voice. You know, I also listen to quite a number of videos, and I read mental focused books. I can share maybe one, Dr. Joe Dispenza. That helps my mental, you know, health sometimes when you find that, you know, your mind is working overtime. Just to listen and to understand this, you know, muscle called, you know, the mind. So it helps me to lead with clarity. It helps me to get the focus, you know, on the vision that I'm driving. And also it helps me to use, you know, the resources to become even a better driving force in this world today as we live. And really understanding my purpose, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have, you know, be able to understand my purpose as a human being, and therefore helps me to be able to say no to certain things and yes to certain things, and to stand in truth in who I am and what I've been called to do. For me, if I want to be a credible leader for the next level and for the next generation to see, it means I must always tap into what are my values? What do I believe in? How am I, you know, grounded? Am I grounded in what? So for me, that's very helpful as I lead, you know, big entities and small entities, and really empower young and old women in the spaces that I find. Because I believe when we harness our inner power, we will be unstoppable, because we know who we are and we know what the vision and the agenda is. And we allow others to tap into the spaces that we find ourselves in, learn from us. And it's important when you allow people to learn from you that you are reflecting a good book that they can read, reference, highlight areas of reference for them, you know, and in their life experiences. So, yeah, that's basically how I lead myself, because first of all, we must be able to self-lead, to also be self-aware. And we would definitely be a force to be reckoned with.
That sounds incredibly inspiring, and I hope that our listeners are going to be able to take some of what you've just shared. I think especially about being a strong woman with them into their daily lives. Yolanda, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us, for sharing some of your message, for giving us an insight into your role as a leader in the sector. And any last words before we close up?
Yes, I would like to just say to all the women out there, this is your time, this is your season. Stand up and stand tall and follow your dreams, and, you know, get connected with the right, you know, networks. Do not stay in your silos or in your corners and not get, you know, encouraged. This is the time for us to model what is possible, especially after COVID-19. We've experienced a lot of losses. We've experienced a lot of challenges, but we've got an opportunity to live again and bring about the change, transformation in the sectors that we find ourselves in. But we can never do this alone. I believe in collaboration locally, continentally, and globally. Get yourself connected, get mentors, and be able to learn from those who have gone before you or those who are doing what you would love to do, and be the best person you want to be in the world.
Well, I don't actually have anything to say after that. I think you said everything that needed to be said. So, Yolanda Mobutu, thank you so much for sharing your time with us. And as I said earlier, for sharing your incredibly important message.
Thank you, Claire. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us on this Enlit Africa podcast. This episode was brought to you in partnership with ESI Africa and is part of our Women in Energy series. For more podcasts, visit enlitafrica.com or esi-africa.com. Please tune in again for more conversations and insights into the things that really matter to Africa's energy sector. If you enjoyed this podcast, we encourage you to rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Until next time, I'm Claire Falkven, and you've been listening to the Enlit Africa podcast.